Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today I want to welcome Dr. Tony Morita to the podcast. Dr. Morita serves as pastor for preaching and vision of Imago Dei Church in Raleigh, North Carolina, and as associate professor of preaching at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. He's also a man I've come to know recently as a good friend. Dr. Morita, welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
Hey, Doc. It's great to be with you, man.
Listen, looking forward to this conversation for some time, and we had to work to make this happen for some time. We've had a couple different cancellations, so I'm thrilled just to have you on the phone now and getting able to talk about your new book, The Christ-Centered Expositor, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, Becoming a Christ-Centered Expositor. Now, before we get into the book, orient our listeners to yourself, your ministry, your family, and what the Lord's doing currently in your life.
Yeah, so briefly, I was born in Detroit, Michigan. Parents moved from Michigan to Kentucky after about 7 years marriage. And so I grew up in Kentucky, went to a small school in Kentucky on a baseball scholarship, became a Christian while I was a sophomore. Played shortstop. Our second baseman led me to faith in Christ. And met Jim Shaddix as a junior in college, who was at the time teaching at New Orleans Baptist Seminary. And that was the first time I really had sat under expository preaching. And my heart was just burning within me as he was unfolding the text night after night. And I remember just saying to myself, I was really wrestling with a call to ministry at the time. I just said, that's what I want to do the rest of my life. And so I was able to talk to Dr. Shaddix during that week while he was on our campus. And I decided to attend school there to study with Dr. Shaddix. And really at that time, honestly, I wasn't really affiliated with a denomination. I became a Christian through a campus ministry and, you know, was attending various churches, different denominations, didn't really have a good ecclesiology at the time. So I went to New Orleans and really just to study with Jim. I didn't know really what set that school apart from others just wanted to learn how to do what he was doing. And so spent more time than I anticipated there, finished a master's PhD there, pastored for a short time there in the city, also went on faculty for a season there at New Orleans, spent a bit of time in Mississippi as an interim pastor, and then became the permanent pastor while I was teaching at New Orleans. And then 5 years ago, my wife and I moved to Raleigh to start this church a little over 5 years ago now. In the process, while we were in Mississippi, this was about 7-8 years ago, we adopted 5 children. We went from 0 to 4 as we adopted 4 Ukrainian children. And then about a year later, we adopted our son Joshua from Ethiopia. And so I have one wife and 5 kids and serving in a church. And we literally just moved into a new building today. This week, last Sunday was our first Sunday to be there. So this is Monday. You can imagine how groggy I'm feeling after a full week of transition. But it was a glorious day yesterday. And teaching at Southeastern Seminary currently, which also keeps me very busy. Enjoy, you know, mentoring students, talking about the ins and outs of preaching and pastoring. And, grateful to God for his grace in my life.
Well, you have a lot going on, and I knew that anyway, but even hearing you recite your different vocational family commitments as a reminder, you're a busy man. I'm curious, between the church, the seminary, your 5 children, the preaching ministry you have, when and how do you find time to write? Because you have written a lot in recent years. So help us understand that.
Yeah, well, I don't have any, you know, super insights. I work really hard, probably too hard at times. I get up early, and I've got great people around me. So I couldn't do what I do without good elders in our church. The seminary gives me a good range of flexibility on where I spend my time, and it allows me to pastor. So, that's grace. And then my wife is very efficient and, is a real partner in ministry. She's not merely, you know, my wife. She really is a great, you know, partner in the mission. She She does some teaching, various women's events. She is in our band. You know, she leads, helps lead our justice ministry at our church. So I've got really good people around me, and I think the Lord's blessed me with a good work ethic. And honestly, I love what I do. I mean, that's you know, part of the joy of, and I think one of the reasons you can produce material is I really enjoy, you know, preparing sermons, writing these commentaries and books that will hopefully help people lead the church. And so my dad is a retired union factory worker. And whenever I have, you know, a tendency to move into self-pity for how much I'm doing, I just think about my dad and quickly get over it.
Well, speaking of writing, you have a new book out. It's called The Christ-Centered Expositor. I'm curious, what brought this book to pass?
Yeah, so this book is really a revised, expanded version of my first preaching book, which was Faithful Preaching. Faithful Preaching came out, I think it dropped in 2009. And I wrote it. I was very young, and I really didn't anticipate writing it originally. I remember B&H came on our campus when I was in New Orleans, asked me if I was interested in writing anything. I think I told them no. And then they said, well, what are you teaching? And I told them, and then I told them that I was using four or five different textbooks, and then I had a big notebook full of kind of fill-in-the-blank lectures. And so they said, well, why don't you consider, you know, trying to put that into book form? And so that's what I set out to do. And, you know, over the last 7 years, I've wanted to make some tweaks to the book. I've wanted to incorporate some things I have learned over the last 7 years. I wanted to take out a chapter, add a chapter. And so it's an entirely reworked version of the original, but the methodology, the five steps to preparing the sermon, I kept intact. But I've combed through literally every sentence, and like I said, replaced a chapter with another chapter, beefed up a few sections, added more material related to Christ-centeredness, you know, beefed up the section on application, beefed up the section on contextualization. So, and I really, you know, my book is the, I wrote to my old self, you might say. When I first started preaching, you know, what book would have really helped me? Hopefully this would have been a book that would have helped me. And I write to the practitioner, you know, to the student, and really beyond even pastors. I mean, this book hopefully will help anybody who wants to make disciples of all nations by teaching, you know, teach them how to interpret the text and how to relate it to people. But I did write it as a handbook for people so that they would grow in their preaching skills. You know, it's somewhat like John Stott's Between Two Worlds, which has a little bit of theology, a little bit of, you know, heart, you know, holiness, humility, has some methodology, has a bit of history, has a good bit on contextualization, bridge building, as Stott called it. So it's really patterned after that book, if I could use any book to kind of point to that I was trying to look at. Another one would be Brian Chappell's book, Christ-Centered Preaching, which really has shaped my preaching over the years as well. So that's a little bit about the book and who I'm writing to.
Well, before I get into the book proper, the title itself, The Christ-Centered Expositor, who is an expositor? How do we know? And then secondarily, what does it mean to be Christ-centered?
Yeah, great question. So when we're talking about to be an expositor, the way I explain it to my church is I'm not trying to be a great speaker on Sunday. I'm not just trying to, you know, deliver a speech or a sermon about something that will be scintillating and, you know, attractive. I'm trying to speak from something. I'm trying to speak from the scriptures, about the scriptures. And so the scriptures are governing everything that I say. And to be an expositor is to really be a word-driven preacher, teacher. So we want the main point of our sermon to flow from the main point of a text that we're considering from the week. And so my goal each week is to simply expose, you know, the meaning of the text at hand, and try to apply it to the lives of modern day listeners. So I think there are various, definitions of expository preaching. For me, a shorthand definition is it's word-driven preaching. It's word-saturated preaching. More of a longhand definition is it involves explaining what God has said in His Word and declaring what God has done in His Son and applying that message to the hearts of people. So all those phrases are important. We're explaining what God has said. So we're not giving new revelation, but we're doing what D.A. Carson calls re-revelation. We're explaining what God has already said and declaring what He's already done and then applying it to the hearts of people. So that's what I'm aiming to do week by week, what I'm trying to convince guys they need to be doing, because it's the Bible that changes lives. God builds His church by His word and not by personality. We can build crowds with personality, but we won't build a church apart from His word. So that's what I'm trying to do, expose the meaning of the text, apply it to the hearts of people, make much of Jesus week in, week out.
Amplify that modifier, Christ-centered. What do you mean by the Christ-centered expositor?
Yeah, so when I say Christ-centered, it's flowing from an understanding of the Bible that the whole Bible is Christian scripture, as Goldsworthy likes to say, that we may differ on how one should preach Christ from a various text, but as a Christian, we read the Bible differently at one level than a Jewish rabbi would read the Bible. We see that the Bible has a messianic message. There's a messianic hope that just blows through the pages of the Old Testament. That messianic hope is realized in the coming of Christ in the Gospels. And then the epistles are reflecting upon applying the implications of Christ's coming to His church. And then Revelation is looking forward to his return. So to be a Christ-centered expositor means that I'm not just committed to expounding the Bible, but I'm committed to expounding the message of the Bible. And as I read the Bible, I see it having a messianic thrust to it. So in some ways in the 80s, there were a lot of books that were emphasizing expository preaching, and it was very much like inductive Bible study. And so one could really stay focused on a text, do word studies, that sort of thing, sentence diagramming, all of which I'm in favor of. But only study the text with a magnifying glass, as Brian Chappell says, and not a wide-angle lens. And so what I'm trying to get guys to do is both to examine the text at hand and then to see where it stands in relation to Jesus, so that we can to make our preaching explicitly Christian, distinctively Christian, week in and week out. So to be a Christ-centered expositor means really to own this conviction that, I want the hero of the Bible, Jesus, to be the hero of every exposition. It's going to look different week by week. That certain texts are going to call for various approaches in order to faithfully preach Christ. But I'm trying to avoid, moralistic application in preaching, which often happens, or just this kind of Old Testament. It just becomes one example of a biblical character after another example of do this and don't do this. And so I want this, our expositors to be kind of like a point guard, to use a basketball analogy, to know what.
I can relate to that.
For you, to use a the point guard knows the small detail of what the play that's being called and where the guys are supposed to. He knows what he's supposed to do, and he knows his defenders on him, but he's also got his eyes on the whole court. And he has great court awareness, as they often say about, a point guard or a quarterback. And the same thing for an expositor. We do have our eye on the immediate text at hand, but we need to have a Bible awareness of how this text relates to the totality of Scripture so that our application can be distinctively Christian.
So, Tony, if for our listeners that are convinced, that are saying, I want to be a Christ-centered expositor, give us some simple steps as to how one goes about becoming one. And I realize you've written a whole book about this. We can't digest that all in the course of this conversation. But what are some steps that our listeners can intentionally apply to their preaching ministry, to their sermon preparation, that makes them a more committed Christ-centered expositor?
Yeah, so read the Scriptures a lot. Listen to good Christ-centered preachers. Study biblical theology so you can learn the categories. And I would just add, study in community. And this is one of the reasons why we have seminaries, but it doesn't have to be limited to a seminary in a local church. It's very important for us to be around others who are trying to grow in this area. And so iron sharpens iron. And so it'd be a great practice for people not just to pick up a book like this and read it by themselves, but to actually do it in a group, to be talking about it, to be thinking through it. Alistair Begg says that, Christ-centered preaching is a journey of a lifetime. And so we all have room to grow. And so I think if you could be in a group with some folks who are studying the Scriptures and listening to sermons and reading biblical theology and could study in a group where they can ask questions and sharpen one another, I think that would be super beneficial.
So let's just dig into one point here a bit further. Let's explore this a bit further. You talk about unifying the redemptive theme. Now, of course, all great preaching really takes a passage and hammers out the central idea of the text, or hammers out the unifying theme. What do you mean by unifying the redemptive theme? What do you mean by that, and how does one find that in the text?
That's a great question. Yeah, so here I have in mind what Brian Chappell calls the fallen condition focus of a text. So which Chappell defines essentially as the mutual condition that is shared between us, the readers, and the original audience that necessitated the writing of the text. So why did those listeners need this text, and why do we need this text? And Chappell roots this idea in 2 Timothy, where the Scriptures complete us. There is a redemptive need that we have. We need to be more transformed into Christ's image. And so the Bible is redemptive in its nature, right? So what we're asking is the question, what theme here is the writer hitting on, that his hearers needed to hear and that we need to hear. So we're establishing this kind of shared condition.
So let me pull this together. One final question, and boy, we could talk all day. This is getting my juices flowing. When you think about preaching Christ, you think about presenting the text, you think about bringing that sermon to the conclusion. Now, whether you call it the invitation or just the concluding point of the sermon to tidy it up, as you preach experientially, personally, how do you seek to bring that sermon together in the final thrust of the concluding components of the presentation itself?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I'm not saying one needs to do this every single week, but my impulse every week is to take people to their final resting place, and that is to Christ. Nothing wrong, in my opinion, with leaving people on exhortation to do something, but what I want to do is really remind them of the gospel strongly at the end. So I like to do this throughout the sermon. So I do kind of running application and then collected application at the end. But that application is rooted in our identity in Christ, rooted in the gospel. I don't want to end the sermon on law. I want to end the sermon with people having hope. And again, to quote Chappell, he says one way you identify a Christ-centered sermon is that Christ-centered sermons always offer people hope. And I think you can exhort people, and you should exhort people and give them the imperatives of the Scripture, but let's be sure to point them to the source of power. Let's be sure to leave them trusting in Christ, treasuring Christ, loving Christ, believing that through Christ they can live out these imperatives. So my tendency is to land it there at resting in Christ, and then to take it kind of one step further is to give them the hope of new creation at the end. So almost all of my sermons, again, I'm not saying everybody needs to do this, but almost all of my sermons have an eschatological conclusion. So I kind of think I want to drop them off at the cross, resurrection, and then through to the end, all of that to give that hope that I'm trying to provide, you know, at the end of the sermon. So from that, then, you know, the preacher can ask for whatever type of response he is planning to do, you know, a variety of ways we could do that. But that's where I'm trying to land.
Well, brother, this has been an encouraging conversation, an informative one as well, I trust, for our listeners. And I just want to thank you for your ministry there at Imago Dei and at Southeastern Seminary, and the way you've become a mentor to so many, especially young men preaching, and for this book that's come out just in recent weeks, The Christ-Centered Expositor. Tony, listen, thank you so much for your time, and it's been a delight to have you on Preaching and Preachers.
Thank you, Jason. Always a pleasure, brother.
Thank you for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, please visit my website, jasonkallen.com.